everything else.
But there are going to be, so I'm not going to vote yet, but they're committed to go with us to the island. But we know that many of you have partnered with us by entering as a player for this event. So we wanted to be able to kind of show you what happened over the last week. So we made a video. Any of you students, as you watch the video, if you want to get together with them at any point, feel free. I would encourage you to tell them this, but just grab them and say, hey, the biggest coffee ice cream. I want to hear more about what God did in your life over this last week to see a lot.
I guess
if you say ice cream, they're not going to say no, but that's just me. If you say, if they have any ice cream, they're going to be like, all right, let's do it. If you see any of them, feel free to do that. I'm giving you permission. But yeah, so in this video, they're going to kind of talk about the students, they're going to talk about what we talked about this last week, that's the other one, but also how it impacted them.
This year's theme at CLI was to be continued, and it was based on the story of Elijah from 1 Kings. I really appreciate this theme. It's really a great job, and it has one of my favorite Bible stories.
Because he is here. So they agreed.
My name is Evan White. I am student B15. And I came to move because, well, for reasons. One,
why not?
For the reason, I'll learn something. My favorite moment at move was probably the escape room. That's the honey. The most impactful moment was probably the speakers. They were really powerful. And I went from move to
get your butt going.
And if you have faith in Jesus, He will help you get your butt going no matter where you're at or what job you're in. So I'm going to get my butt moving soon. So I got this thing called a kingdom card, which I guess is just the suggestion of what you can do to help the kingdom of God get your butt moving. So mine said that I had to contact a local mission that my church supported and figure out some stuff so I could promote it around my community and stuff, and educate the public and fundraise for them. So I think that would be pretty good.
I'm 16 years old and I'm going to be a junior at Ross State University.
Why did I come to move?
I came to move this year because I felt like God was calling me. I felt like I needed to be more involved in this kind of stuff so that I can get a better perspective, a better idea of how I can improve my spiritual life.
So my favorite moment at Bloom would be all the powerful speakers and powerful events that occurred, because to put it, it allowed me to think more deeply about questions that I kind of had, and it brought up new questions that I never even thought about. So it really caused me to go deeper into my faith and hear other answers.
What have I learned from her this year?
This year, I think the biggest thing I learned from her is that no matter what circumstances or where you're at in life, God is still working on you. He has good plans for you. And so that you shouldn't give up. And that no matter what you do with your life, no matter what profession you go to, you can always do kingdom work to advance gospel, to advance God's kingdom.
So I got a kingdom worker card. And so mine says, for 1 year, anytime you wait in line, let someone else in front of you. Walk with that person, go through the line, silently pray for them.
My name is Aaron Kishoff, and I'm 14 years old, and I'm going to high school in high school. Why did I come to move? I came to move because I feel like God called me, and He wanted me to be here because He knew that I would get so much more deeper in faith, and I learned so much from move. My favorite moment from move was probably learning about all the speakers and getting the deeper knowledge about Christ and how Elijah and Elisha worked out. What have you learned from move? I learned that no matter what, God will always be there for me. He will always stick up for me, just like He did with Elijah. So at CRY, we got something called Kingdom Card. And you have to provide a year to get all these. It's basically a challenge you have to get all done. And my kingdom card said, ask your youth leader to help you find a missionary who is a U.S. citizen living abroad. Contact them and ask them what items they miss from the U.S. Put together a care package for those items. Send it to them, letting them know that you're committed to praying for them and respond to any follow-up that they have. I feel like this kingdom card was very good for me because it will help me with helping others, and it will give me strength and motivation to God.
Hi, my name is Taylor Morelli. I'm 16 years old, and I'm going to be a senior at Blossom High School. So I came to the room this year because I went to move 2 years ago when I was a sophomore, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was an impactful experience. I really have a pretty opportunity to just sit and ponder about her and really lean into listening to what he was saying. Another aspect of the music that I really enjoyed were the stay-long moments, so that stands for stop, exhale, look, passing here. And those were also moments that we did each morning, and it was kind of like a guided prayer time that we did individually, and I just really enjoyed that. What I learned this week has to do with trusting God and knowing that He will provide in whatever circumstance you are in. And I just felt like that was really important for where I was at before coming through. So another favorite moment that I had with the students is Taylor and I, we got locked out of our room. It was pretty bad. really embarrassing to make that phone call to the
My name is Sarah Falk from the Civic Continuity, and I am 23 years old. As a student, I have ministered many times with the church, and I know that in my life specifically, that's when I got the call to go into full-time vocational ministry. And here we go. I'm doing full-time vocational ministry, so I know the impact that CLIU can have on students, and that's why I find it so important to as much as I can to be able to bring the students on this trip with us. This week proved very fruitful, as all weeks do, as the outline of it. It was a blessing to be able to worship alongside the students and see them experience God and the different ways that they, said in this video. And even as leaders, Patty and I still have things that we can learn and to learn this week and to continue to apply to our lives as we continue to walk with Jesus more and more, as we continue to do what I can. I did like, as well, the family, the time of silence. That was something that was good, especially for the students. It was just fun to be able to experience that with them, because that's something in our busy society that doesn't happen very frequently. So it was good to be able to spend that time, even though it was by yourself, it was still communal with our group. And all these group times were super beneficial. The conversations I felt were just really great messages with my kids, and I know that they're going to do some really great things for the kingdom. And I'm always looking forward to what the Lord will do in and through them. They continue to surprise me by their hearts, by their love for Jesus, and the way that the Spirit is doing in and through them, even now and even now. Things that they'll be continuing to do at Lawson Christian Church and as they go out. I just also want to say thank you to everyone who came out to our fundraiser luncheon that we did in the potato field. I want to say thank you so much. It was a large part of that allowed the students to be able to come on this trip and experience Jesus in this way and set their lives on a new track, potentially. I also want to say thank you to those who just donated to help us go on this trip. We did not know about you, and your generosity cannot be thanked enough, and your reward is waiting for you in heaven. I would also honor any students. I also thank you for those who prayed for us while we were on this trip, and also leading up to this trip. We saw those prayers come to fruition while we were on this trip. So again, just thank you. Thank you for the work that you do in the hospital for the students.
I'll tell you, it was a definitive week through and through. And yes, I'm Derek Slack. I'm 25 years old. I was thrilled to be able to drive and to also get to experience and watch these students. Most of these students were anywhere from 4 to 6 years old when I first came here. And to watch them take on this new identity going into their adult years, it's quite overwhelming. I experienced a lot of different things. I also had a lot of time with my son, which I really enjoyed, and watched him watch these teens, and he's excited about what is to come. But a couple things I wanted to point out. One, each individual student, I picked out something that just stuck out to me. I saw in Adam his goofy side for sure, but something that was different in him that I've never really experienced watching Adam before, and watching him worship God was really quite a beautiful thing. It's kind of creepy now knowing you were watched, right? Yeah. But he was goofy, but he was a fun goofy. But he was excited for the Lord, and it shone through his way that he worshiped. And when I watched him do that, that got me excited. I watched Taylor step out. Taylor went in with this idea and this attitude that she naturally recluses, and she said out loud and made the mistake of saying in front of me, she goes, I'm gonna be more outgoing this week. I'm gonna put myself out there more, be more social. And so we were playing this game throughout the week. You've probably seen it. There's a lot of YouTube videos out there about it called Freeze, where you just yell the word freeze, and they have to stop whatever they're doing in that moment, and they can't move again until you unfreeze them. And so, like, when you freeze a student in the middle of a doorway as people are trying to go in and out, it's a beautiful thing. And she did. She stuck to it, but I watched her go out, and she was a social bug. I've not seen Taylor be that way before, and it was really quite neat. And also the way she engaged my son and included him on a lot of things, especially during worship time, that was neat. I watched Aaron go, and he was quiet and to himself. And, you know, I wondered what that'd be like being there with his big brother. And you find yourself under the wing often of a big brother. But Austin was going to do his own thing. And Aaron found himself having to figure out who he was, and he did. He engaged people. He was for helping people. And he played in all the games too, but he really was a part of this as much as any other student. He wasn't under his brother's wing. He was Aaron, and it was neat to see him coming into that. Then I watched Austin. If anybody didn't know where Rossville, Kansas was or ever heard of us prior to that week, they know now. All several hundred people there know he was the social light of CIY and connected with everybody and anybody, but he represented well, and I really appreciated that. And in the end, from a personal perspective, man, you know, you see this and you're going to be for your own church, you're going to be for your own group of kids for sure, but this, it's a unique group, it's a unique community. I mean, you all are for each other. I've seen that over the last 9 years, and I love that. But watching this group, there was no bickering among them. There was no picking on each other. They were for Rossville. They were for each other. They were for Rossville Christian Church. And they were for the kids that were around them. And they just kind of embraced the week. They took my 10-year-old boy and made him feel like he was a teenager among them. They worshiped with each other well. They joked with each other well. They loved on each other well. It was honestly a very special thing. The most impactful thing for me, though, hands down, was the speaker the second night, who I wish I could tell you the name of his disease. It's way harder than I could ever try to say. But his response was that of someone with cerebral palsy. He woke up on his eighth grade, getting ready for his birthday. And he wakes up, and as he sits up, he finds himself not being able to hold his head up. And all of a sudden, this disease that kind of just stole his muscles and his strength away from him in just a matter of moments. He had gone to bed normal, and what he called normal, he said, and woke up not functioning normal anymore. Imagine being an eighth grade boy and your life changing like that. And then he went on and he said, the doctor said I would never walk again or talk again, as he stood on that stage and he preached the word of God. And he said, what was the most interesting thing to me that stuck out? And I'm going to try to do it as close to what he said. He said, I hated high school. I got made fun of. I got picked on for something I had no control over. But I had it way easier than these kids do today. And I agree with him on that. He said, I will never, ever, ever desire in my life to go back and deal with what they have to deal with. Folks, I know we jokingly sometimes I do it. I've called them a weak generation. That they don't know what it means to be tough. Baloney. They're tougher than I've ever experienced. And here's why. They wake up, and the moment they wake up, what's one of the first things you do? Maybe not everybody, but the majority of you. What's one of the first things you do in the morning? You grab that ridiculous phone, right? And you start perusing through, and you start to see how the world is going to dictate how you're going to be that day. It starts with an alarm. For these teenagers, it's Facebook, it's Twitter, it's Snapchat, and it's constant, and it defines in their mind who they are. And they're constantly battling with the stuff. And if it's not there, then it's on the TV. And if it's not in the TV, it's in the movies. And if it's not in the movies, it's in the music. And I recognize, I never thought I'd be that person that would recognize that stuff. I've never felt more overwhelmed for a generation than this one. To be a teen in this generation, I don't know how you do it. I have no idea, but I know this. I'm more driven now than I ever have before to find myself to pray for you. I had it easy, and I had a pretty crummy life. I had it way easier. So a few years ago, I shared with you, I had two jars on the table, if you remember. One of them was filled partially about a quarter away with marbles. The other one was fairly full with marbles. And it represented the amount of weeks that I had with my son from the time of birth until the time that he was graduating high school. And each week, and if you go in my office, you'll see it in there now, I move a marble from one into the other. It's one of the most overwhelming things that I do right now in this life when it comes to illustrations. Because it's truth. I mean, I can't remove the fact that another week has passed. For the first year in his life, he now has more marbles on the side of time lost than the time ahead. Man, it really starts to weigh on you. And then I started thinking about our teens and our grade schoolers, doesn't matter really who they are, anybody that's in school. On an average day during the school year, you get just a few very brief hours with your kids. You add sports or other activities into it, it gets even slimmer of a margin. We don't get a lot of time with them, do we? We have got to become people who are burdened to pray for them. Praying for them, and secondly, and I think just as importantly, praying for the teachers who are instructing them. That these are God-fearing, God-loving teachers. Because this time is short and sweet, and how many of you have already had kids graduate, and you go back and you think to yourself, man, I wish I would have done things differently. Take and invest as much as you can right now. And where you don't maybe have that time anymore with those kids, start investing and praying for those who are coming in behind them. Pray for the teachers. They are in a battle that you will never begin to understand. You won't. It's impossible. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. Then I want you to pray for our youth minister, Caleb, and pray for Haley. Because honestly, I used to think, youth ministry, honestly, it was a pretty simple gig back in my day when I did it. Because you just said we're going to do fun stuff and eat good stuff and have good time. And we're going to learn something about God. They'd show up in drones. Now, I mean, they're at a place where they almost have to practically beg your time. And it's not because they don't have anything fun to do. It's they're facing the very battle that your kids are facing. The world. I've never felt more burdened now than to pray for that generation. And so I'm going to find myself doing that more and more and more. If you really, really want an illustration, those of you who are parents and still have kids in school, figure out how many weeks you have left with them until they graduate. Start moving that marble over and see if it doesn't make you a little bit sicker to your stomach. It's awkward and it's overwhelming, but it puts the emphasis where it needs to be. I loved that I got to go on this trip. I went as just to be a driver. And I did. I drove a lot. Man, I drove a lot. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. I saw God do something and stir inside of me that I never anticipated was going to happen. I feel burdened specifically for our group of young teens in this community. I can pray for every community, but I'm burdened for you guys. I'm going to ask you this morning to do something practical. Will you join me in prayer for them? I'm not going to pray on your behalf. I'm just going to ask that you would pray for these kids. Pray for their parents, their teachers. If you are a parent, pray for yourself. Pray for godly influences in their life and pray that there's enough sustaining connection with God that when they do leave Rossville and they go and they are going to be productive members of society, some of them unproductive, I'm just kidding. When they go into this world, that they have enough of Jesus drenched in them that when it starts to feel parched and dry, he's still enough to sustain them and carry them through. So we're just going to do that the rest of our time this morning. Just for a few minutes, we're going to pray, and then we're going to just take some time to worship and give glory to God. So if you would, just right where you are, go ahead and take some time to pray, and then we'll worship again. Instill it into their children, and Lord, not just their own, those neighbor kids or
us to be that truth in their lives they desperately need to see and hear. Help us to live that out. Lord, we are consumed with media that says what we are to be a slave to, and you've called us to be a slave to you. And so, Lord, it's my hope and my desire that I would no longer be a slave to sin, that I would no longer find myself seeking this world, but seeking you, Lord. So, Lord, would you just guide us and lead us forward?